Well, Mother's Day was just a couple of days ago. I hope y'all were able to pull it.
I don't know. You say at this point it's not too late.
Did you get your nap?
Yeah, I got my nap. Absolutely, I
didn't hear.
My nap.
I didn't hear. So.
She got a nap. No one made her coffee, but her shoes were fetched.
And I also got these cute little, they're so cute. You know, I like tea. And I got these little, they're silicone little, like, guys. They're little, like, Chinese guys. And they're little fishermen. And they clip to the side of your cup.
Oh, and they fish in your teacup.
And you wrap your tea bag string around them. And they, like, sit on your cup and fish.
Totes
your
adorbs.
Tea bags. It's totes dorbs.
Yeah. I like that. Cool.
I know, right? Well, there was a church out there who decided to help mom, well, dads, I should say, on Mother's Day. It said they put a stack of blank Mother's Day cards in the men's restroom. A guy on Reddit snapped a photo of this brilliant idea used by the church he attends. That's hysterical.
Bail them out. There's always grace.
In case you forgot, guys, there's one.
In case you forgot. I think that's fantastic, and I want to know how many were used. Did you guys get, or your children, I should say, did your children get your wife's cards
for
Mother's
Day? Yeah,
my wife
was gifted. I know.
Yeah.
See, we're not big card people. Like, Dean didn't get me a card. The kids, you know, but.
Getting cards is one of the ways that I express my love for my wife because I always complain about how much cards cost.
Yeah.
And so I buy a fairly expensive card just to say, you're worth more to me than being a cheapskate, which is usually the most important thing.
Nice.
Probably 15 years ago, we went to a marriage journal that we occasionally write in. I'd say a lot of times over birthdays and anniversaries in recent years, it just goes in there.
I love that.
What happens is when you get multiple volumes and you've moved to a foreign country, who knows where they all are.
Right.
So anyhow.
No, that's a cool
idea. Then if you forget, you're just like, no, I wrote it in that volume.
Right.
You know, my husband's been known, like, after Valentine's Day to grab a clearance card and write in that for me.
Oh,
and give it to me, like, a couple days later. And I love that.
This is probably okay if I say it on the air. I looked through said greeting cards, and I didn't like any of the greeting cards that I found for Mother's Day.
Oh.
So I got my wife a sympathy card and said, sorry, you have to put up with us.
That's creative.
That's fantastic.
Because we are a handful at times.
Most families are.
That's what we did.
Coming up this weekend, Treasure Hunt, a new comedy written and directed by Jim and Jane Jeffries. Jim is actually not with us today, but his wife Jane is, as is Evelyn Halverson, one of the thespians in this production. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. So, Jane, you and Jim have collaborated on so many productions over the years. So tell us about the latest Treasure Hunt, debuting at the Grand Theater this weekend in Eau Claire.
Well, this one's based on, I don't know if you guys know what geocaching is. It's basically people set up little treasures around town, and then you can get an app for it, and you go hunting the treasures.
It's super cool.
Yeah. So we know some friends who actually set up one. That's how we got interested in it. So we thought, oh, wow, that'd be really neat to make a play out of it, because what you can do is have 10 separate stories, you know, 10-minute plays, but they're all connected by the geocache.
Hmm.
So, you know, you get, you start with something in the box, and then the people who come on take what's in the box and they leave something. So that becomes the prop for the next scene.
So essentially, this is 10 completely different plays. I mean, 10 different storylines, 10 different plots. But yet, what an interesting way to do this, to combine scenes and things like that. That just is a fascinating concept.
Well, it was really fun to write.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they're standalone stories, but they're still all connected by the geocache, and we connect the beginning and the end, so there's a thread that ties everything through.
Now, the Halversons are a family full of thespians now, and so we have Evelyn
yes,
here, but
are.
I understand our newest Sunday morning announcer, Dawson, is in several scenes, and Evelyn, you're in a scene with siblings, correct?
Yes. My scene is with my sister, Grace.
Very cool. How are you guys getting along?
Yeah, I think because we're sisters and we already have that super tight relationship, I think that really made our scene, the chemistry in it. We only had, there's one other person in our scene, and so all we had to do was try and get him into our little group, but we were already very connected, and we were able to play off each other and try different things, so we didn't have to feel, you know, self-conscious about someone who we didn't know that well, because
sure,
no one, I don't know anyone as well as I know Grace.
And Jane, what's it been like, and Evelyn, maybe you can address this as well, to see all these different scenes where you can kind of see how it all comes together, but knowing the audience is going to need to take that journey along with you to understand it.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
So from the actor's perspective too, so you can kind of see how it all ties together, but how's that been like seeing how the different scenes are going to all mesh and coalesce?
Well, actually better than I expected, you know, and we collaborate with our actors a lot. So we've made some tweaks and adjustments along the way and taken a lot of their suggestions. They laugh at us because we want to change this line. Wait a minute. So, but yeah, I mean, it's been fun to see it all connect. And our tech person was there last night, and she said she was pretty impressed because she didn't know how all of this was going to connect, and then she saw how it did, so it's working.
Well, anything written by the Jeffries, as Eau Claire knows over the years, is going to have humor and is going to be well-performed, and so folks looking forward to it. This is kind of the premiere, right, of Treasure Hunt? I mean, it's premiering mm-hmm. right here in Eau Claire.
Yep, first run.
All right, so check it out, a comedy about a real-life treasure hunting game. Friday and Saturday night, 7:30, and Sunday afternoon, 1:30, the Grand Theater, 102 West Grand Avenue in Eau Claire. Jane and Evelyn, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us. Hope you can come.
So it's George Lucas's 75th birthday. We talked a little bit of Star Wars. You two preceded me here on the show in terms of your Star Wars enthusiasm. And so I was thinking, and certainly I was watching the original Star Wars back in 77, and neither of you had even showed up on the planet yet.
Yeah. It was actually 10 years before I was born.
Yeah, there you go. And so later, obviously, the other movies. But people think of what are now seen as 4, 5, and 6 as far superior to the prequel movies of Star Wars 1 through 3. So my question is, if I, in an effort to better connect in the Star Wars area with you wonderful co-workers, was to go back, would you advise me watch 4, 5, and 6 and then go back and watch 1, 2, 3? Or would you say, start at the beginning?
I don't know. Cause
for
four,
you, there's
five,
a good nostalgia element if you've already seen those. But if we're talking someone who is completely new to the series,
it's hard to keep the ammo, like the interest going. Like 4, 5, and 6 are really good.
They're
and then
really
you go, oh,
good.
Oh boy, I got to slog my way through Leviticus. Kind of.
That's kind of how it feels. I get lost in Leviticus.
Yeah, well, a lot of people. Right?
Oh, Leviticus.
Honestly,
that's a perfect analogy.
I was going to say, I think it's when all the tribal leaders are bringing their gifts to the tabernacle and they all list the exact same thing. I'm like, Lord, why was this necessary to be included in Scripture? He's a God of order, a God of detail. I was like, could you maybe have just like summarized it? Like,
I don't think I've ever made
Reader's
it through
Digest,
the whole
Cliff Notes.
Book of Leviticus.
Yeah, it's tough.
I have tried so many times. Leviticus.
Probably, I'm not saying
well, then
Star Mark Wars.
Will watch Star Wars, you'll read Leviticus. We'll see who comes out better at the end of the month.
Well, there's like how many movies now it might take us the same amount of time.
So you're not giving you drew an analogy to C.S. Lewis and Chronicles of Narnia too,
yeah,
right?
Because The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is the classic one, but do you read Magician's Nephew first because of the chronological or the order and the sequence in which they were written too? And honestly, I'm still debating as far as introducing them to my children where to start. Mm-hmm. So hit us up on the Web Listener line at 715-396-1670 if you have an opinion about any of this.
We started with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
And I think
we
that is a
went
classic
in
place
order
to start.
Because
yeah.
kids don't necessarily understand the going back and the forth and why you're not, you know. But Star Wars is a different thing. I just worry that if people start with the the second three, which is really the first three, you know, I worry that they will lose interest and get derailed and never see. Yeah.
There's some very
know.
Strong elements, I think, in 1 and 3, not so much 2. But yeah. I'm always going to love Darth Maul.
Yeah, it's just a Jar Jar thing with you.
Well, yeah, but also Anakin's a little wooden.
Oh, well, so, yeah, I guess he is.
Yeah.
He's the wee lad in that one.
Attack of the Clones, I kind of struggle with that one. So we'll see. Anyway. I don't know that we've come to any sort of measurable conclusion.
We haven't.
Meanwhile, on Scrabble board in studio, Hillary got a double word, but it was only 10 points.
I used one letter. I used the letter O to make the word tat and no.
And then you drew an O.
And then I drew an O. I don't need any more O's.
Nice to have vowels.
And Caleb did add some vowels. So. Well, again, Caleb and Hillary, and to all our listeners, a happy National Buttermilk Biscuit Day to all of you.
Thank you.
Yum.
Here's
no,
the background, a little food history today. Biscuits became popular in America after the Civil War.
Oh.
Turns out folks realize the hardness, get this now, this is interesting. The hardness of the biscuit compared to a slice of bread worked better to wipe up gravy on their plates, creating the well-known meal.
Biscuits and gravy.
Nice.
Right on.
There you
Love
go.
That.
How about that?
Also, for kind of sopping up, if you ever have, I don't know how you guys take your fried eggs,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, if there's a little yolky, then it kind of sops up the egg yolk, too. Some people like their hard eggs, like their, well, the yolk really hard.
I like my yolks hard. I don't
Yeah, that's how Lindsay likes them as well, too, so.
Biscuits and gravy. Now I'm like, we always talk about food things, and then I'm like, oh,
I know.
I'm hungry. I want biscuits.
The South, like, they get it, you know?
They do.
Biscuits and just slop gravy over the whole mess.
Well, here's the age-old question. When it comes to breakfast sandwiches, are you a biscuit person? Are you an English muffin person? Are you...
I like croissants. I like the
croissants.
It comes up at a fast food restaurant sometimes.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give a tip of the hat to Hardee's. I think they really do the
biscuits.
Like, who else does biscuits and gravy that's a fast food?
Nobody, I don't think.
Well, see, there's a picture of biscuits and gravy, right?
I know. So. I love biscuits and gravy. Mm-hmm. I love when we travel south and that's part of, like, the hotel's, you know, continental breakfast. It's like, yes!
Caleb, you're a biscuits and gravy guy.
I love biscuits and gravy. It's fantastic. Jim Gaffigan has a whole bit about this, how it just kind of sits like cement in your stomach. But it's worth it.
So
it's totally
good.
How
worth
often
it.
Do you eat it? I mean, do you make it or do you just wait for somebody to make it for you?
Like most things, I wait to be fed.
So breakfast sandwiches, I prefer biscuits. You're a croissant guy. What do you...
I would go with the biscuits as well.
I like that little bit of saltiness.
Going back... Like complimenting Hardee's again, way back in the day, I remember my grandpa used to get us cinnamon raisin biscuits from Hardee's.
Oh.
And I mean, this was
the
in my childhood.
Raisins in them.
Yeah.
I know. They're still good. We've made them
at home
as well,
too. Is there any way we could teach you to like raisin bran you just would hate?
I picked the raisins out.
Really?
It's like eating
then
wood
it's just
tick.
Bran. Then it's just Wheaties. Yeah.
It's not a wood tick.
Put some fruit or something in
no,
there.
No, like trail mix. I mean, Caleb and I are big fans
of
trail mix.
Out of that, too.
You really?
The raisins with the, I think my kids do that, but I mean, with the M&Ms and the nuts is
one. The
a
thing
treat.
Is, and I put the raisins with because then I feel like it's a little bit healthier if I'm having raisins other than just chocolate chips.
Oh yeah. All right. Well.
All right. We can't convert her yet.
I'm gonna go get some trail mix and some biscuits.
You
got to
take
right
your
now.
Turn.
Hats off to Pillsbury though. They make some nice in terms of you know getting
yeah,
it and
pretty good.
Make the biscuits there at home. So
yeah. All right. Take
All right,
your
I'll
turn.
Take my turn.
Now that we're officially hungry,
I'm gonna try to use this 10-point Z.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.